Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Thunder Chats here with another word from our sponsors, BetOnline.ag. The only people that get off this time of year are pro athletes and us at BetOnline. With NFL, bowl season, and NBA in full swing over the holidays, BetOnline isn't taking a second off to make sure you have all the up to the second odds, news, and info. BetOnline has all the sports wagering info available you need with both desktop and mobile access. Head there today to get into the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV, that's capital letters BLEAV, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Good morning and welcome into another edition of the Top Thunder Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Hunsinger at Thunder Chats. We're part of the B-League Network, and this podcast is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. Whew. The Thunder played a basketball game last night, guys. It's about all I could say. They participated. It was certainly a basketball game. Obviously, I'm recording this in the morning on my way to work. You can probably hear the turn signal right now. Sorry. I obey the rules of the road. I guess there's probably a law that prohibits podcasting in the car. But, you know, what they know won't hurt them. The Oklahoma City Thunder played a game against the Atlanta Hawks in Atlanta last night. And there was just, everything was going against them before the game even started, during the game, and through all of that, they still had a chance to win this game. So, let's talk about it. In the segment we're like to call Single Jot. Okay, so, Single Jot for the game. First, let me kind of set the stage for this. So, this was the trappiest trap game that ever trapped. Alright. Obviously, you guys know, we just played the Boston Celtics at home. The guys put it all on the court, left it all on the court in that game. They knew how important it was. You could tell they really wanted it. And from like top to bottom, the guys that were on the court really left it all out there. Okay, so you have this super physical, super high energy, like playoff atmosphere, environment feel type game. Immediately after the game, you have to get ready, get on a plane, and go to Atlanta. Well, apparently, there were some issues with the plane. Maybe there were some flight delays. I don't know the logistics, but anyways, they got to Atlanta much later than they previously anticipated getting to Atlanta. It was reported by, I don't think it was even reported. I think Jalen Williams just posted it on his IG and some reporters ran with it. But the Thunder didn't land in Atlanta until like 4:45 a.m. on the night of the game. So, I don't know about you guys, and I don't know about NBA players. I don't know what their circadian rhythm is, but I know it's recommended to get 8 hours of sleep in a day. I can't tell you the last time I got 8 hours of sleep. I operate them like 6-7 on an absolute like good day. Sometimes I even get like 4 or 5 hours of sleep. So I don't know what an NBA player's circadian rhythm is, but you figure they go to bed at 4:45. If they get 8 hours, 12:45. The game was at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. You know, shoot around times are kind of weird with themes. So I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, you know, obviously, they just play this really physical game. Their flight was delayed. I don't know if that put them off schedule, but, like, they was already thrown off. Like, you know, there was already something off of it. So, anyways, we get to the game. And just right from jump, you could tell that their worst fears were imagined. Atlanta opens up on, I believe, an 11-0 run. Yes, so they opened up on an 11-0 run. And I thought, sorry. So they actually opened up on a 7-0 run, which prompts Martin Dade not to call a timeout. Calls the timeout. And, you know, after a timeout, you usually, like, you know, you usually think they're going to come out and play more focus, stop making so many mistakes, go out there and get an easy bucket, you know, run out there and execute. They did not. They went down 11-0 before a foul on Shea sent him to the line, and we got our first 2 points at the foul line. Now, I'm not going to go back and forth the entire game talking about what happened, what didn't happen, but let's just fast forward to halftime. So at the end of the first, we were down 14. All right, and to Atlanta's credit, they had an answer for every response that we had. Like, when we finally got into the game and we started making shots, it felt like they had the answer. Whether it was Jalen Johnson, who had a career night against us, and I love Jalen Johnson. I liked him in the draft process, and, you know, he's been a legitimate most improved candidate. I tweeted out, if it wasn't for Tyrese Haliburton and Tyrese Maxey being literal all-stars, Jalen Johnson would be, like, a most improved, like, favorite. But, yeah, he had a career-high 28 points on us tonight. It might have been DeJounte Murray, who I believe had 22 points, but was, like, just hitting timely buckets. He actually shot a lot less efficiently than I thought he did. But, you know, like I said, his buckets were just timely. But, anyways, getting into halftime, the Thunder were down by, 17 points. Yeah, the Thunder were down 17 points at halftime. All right. So, the Thunder came out of the half playing a lot differently. Playing a lot more like the team we know and love. Playing a lot more like the team we saw just the night before. They opened up with Lou Dort dunk. Josh Giddey made three-pointer. And there's that pesky DeJounte Murray making a pull-up jump shot. So we cut it to 12. Murray hit that shot. We got a Chet bucket. Jalen Johnson. There's that pesky Jalen Johnson hit a three. So, we cut it back to 12. Jalen Johnson made it 15-point lead. Dort gets free throws. Dub gets a pull-up jumper. Dub gets another two-point shot. Got 11. Trimming down the lead. Wouldn't you know it? DeJounte Murray makes a driving layup. All right, and then this is where things get wonky, all right? Like, we're definitely playing more rhythm. Got a rhythm. Our energy's up. Like, we have mustered all the energy we could possibly muster in this third quarter. And you can tell, like, it feels like a vintage third quarter, like Thunder third quarter. Like, where we come roaring back from a halftime deficit. And if not take the lead or tie the game, like, really close the deficit. But I still don't fully understand what was happening. Because I had the volume down because, you know, we're going to OKC next week. And I've been, like, Thunder games have been happening very frequently. I've been podcasting almost every night. so I was trying to, you know, kind of be in the moment with my wife a little bit more. You know, so we like watching videos while the game was on. And so I had it muted and I couldn't tell exactly what happened. But at 9:25, Trae Young fouled somebody. It was a take foul. And I kid you not, for like almost 10 to 15 minutes real time, there was no basketball being played. My understanding, based off of what I heard from a breadcrumb from Chris Fisher and Michael Cage, which doesn't even make sense because this is a Trae Young personal foul, is they were going back and reviewing the second quarter to see a foul that one of the Jalen Williams had committed, but the statistician didn't give the foul to the correct Jalen Williams. Like, I still don't know what happened, but like, that's just another thing we had to work against. Because like I said, man, like, we were in rhythm, we were coming out guns blazing, like, we were flying up and down the court, getting stops defensively, getting buckets on offense, and then this crap happens. It just didn't. Anyways, get back into the game, and you know, we still, to our credit, kind of going a little bit of a run. Capella made a tip shot. Josh Giddey made a tip shot. Capella made a two-point shot. Shea hit two. Dub hit a two. Shea hit a layup. At that point, we have cut the lead to 9. All right, we cut it to single digits, and then Trae Young had the answer. He hit a pull-up. Garrison Matthews had an answer. He hit a pull-up. Just like that, it's back to 13. It was a very back-and-forth affair. I'm not going to go through the whole play-by-play of everything that happened, but the Thunder entered the fourth quarter down 13. So we closed the deficit from 17 to 13, you know, despite that long stoppage of play. So again, I'm not going to go through the entire fourth quarter. I'm going to fast-forward here to... Yeah, this is really where it starts to shift a little bit. So, the Thunder are down 16 with 2 minutes and 50 seconds left. Lou Dort hits a 3, cuts the score. Wait, did I do that wrong? Yeah, no, we were down 16. So, Lou Dort hits a 3, cuts the score, 124-137, down 13. Go down the court. Jalen Johnson misses a shot. They get an offensive rebound. They miss the shot. Jalen Johnson gets another offensive rebound. Guess what? He makes the shot. It's back up to 15. Jalen Williams comes down, makes a driving layup, like, almost immediately, like 7 seconds left. Quick shot. No time off the clock, hardly. Down 13 again. Stipe misses a shot. DeJounte Murray, offensive rebound, misses the tip. Shea gets the rebound. Kicks it up ahead to Jalen Williams in the corner for 3. Bottoms. Down 10. Wouldn't you know it? Thinking pesky Jalen Johnson goes down there, makes a 2-point shot. Down 12. Shea comes across the midcourt line. Literally 4 seconds later, step back 3. Money. Down 9. Jalen Williams turns the ball over to Isaiah Joe, kicks it to Shea, who dunks the ball. The Thunder are down 7. Lou Dort fouls the Hawks. They get a side out. Murray misses a 3. They get a rebound. But Cason Wallace, who was in the game at this point, absolutely locks up Trae Young, who gets a shot clock violation. Shea gets the ball, goes down the court, makes a layup. Down 5. Hawks call timeout. They are in full-on panic mode at this point. They're like, listen, we've done everything we possibly could. Like, we've had this game in control. We are literally fumbling the bag at the end of the game. So, they make adjustments. They put in Bogdan Bogdanovic for Capella, who, let me just go back to the box score and tell you guys what freaking Bogey did in this game, because he was another culprit to just, yeah. 23.7-16 shooting, like, not super efficient from the field, but 5 of 11 from deep. And let me tell you, man, these were all bat-breaking three-pointers. So, yeah, Bogey was on his FIBA crap last night. All right, so back into the play-by-play as these people try to cut me off and maybe wreck and die. Okay, so Bogey comes in. Wiggins comes in for...
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
DeJounte misses a floating jump shot. Shea gets the rebound. Shea drives down the court, and again, 4 seconds, gets a two-point shot. 141-138, Thunder are down three. The aforementioned Bogdan Bogdanović, after the Hawks work the ball around, the Thunder elect not to foul. Bogdan misses the three-pointer, and wouldn't you know it, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander rebounds the basketball. Now, the Thunder call a timeout with 3 seconds left. It says 3 seconds left. I think it's 3.2 seconds left. Call a timeout, 3 seconds left. Now, something you guys would notice, I haven't mentioned all game, Chet Holmgren. Chet had struggled in this game. In terms of shooting-wise, let's see here. I'm going to pull up exactly what he was. Except, like, from the field, it wasn't terrible. Like, he was efficient. 5-9 shooting, 2-5 from deep, 12 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist. But this was not a vintage Chet Holmgren game. He got dunked on by the aforementioned Jalen Johnson. He got out-rebounded, obviously, by Capella. I mean, 3 rebounds, man, is rough if you're a center. And that's back-to-back games with Chet Holmgren getting 3 rebounds. So he's definitely got to clean that up. And another thing, no blocks, which kind of showcases not his lack of effort, but his lack of energy, his lack of stamina after playing this super physical game with Boston Celtics, guarding Kristaps Porzingis, trying to block big guys like Jason Tatum and Al Horford. You know, you could tell it really wore him down in a back-to-back scenario. So Mark elected not to close the Chet Holmgren. You know, this whole time we're coming back, the lineup on the floor, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, Jalen Williams, Josh Giddey, Isaiah Joe, and Lindy freaking Waters. Okay? Casey Wallace was in there every now and then. I don't remember exactly when he was and when he stepped out, but like, that was the lineup that was closing this game. And guess what? Atlanta had Clint Capella in there until they subbed him out for Bogdan Bogdanović at the end of the game. And Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, to his credit, rebounded that basketball like a freaking champ. And, you know, we'll talk about it here in a second when I actually get in the single arch item and stop talking about what happened in the game. But, yeah, it was a little bit of a wild time. So, anyways, back to the game. So, Thunder are down three. They've worked this hard. They've come back. They've got stops. They've hit buckets in a quick, timely manner. They played great defense without fouling to give them this opportunity. And let me tell you what, dude. Mark Daigneault's been a great coach since he's come to the Thunder. He's had some questionable decisions rotation-wise, but one thing that he's always had since his first year as a head coach is he draws up some beautiful after-timeout plays. And ladies and gentlemen, last night might have been his Mona Lisa. So, you got Josh Giddey on the sideline, inbounding the basketball. The guys are in a stack formation. Lindy Waters sprays and flares hard towards Josh Giddey into the corner that Josh Giddey is on. Shea pops out. DeJounte Murray knocks him down, which no foul call. I get it's late in the game, whatever, but, like, kind of hard to get into your offense when your star player is on the floor. But DeJounte Murray knocks Shea over. Shea gets up, recovers, pops out. Doesn't pass it to Shea. Jalen Williams takes a screen from Isaiah Joe. Goes towards the basket. Giddey rifles one to him. He catches it right about at the free throw line. And he's got a clear dunk. if he wants it done. The problem is we're down three. But as the attention shifted to Jalen Williams going to the basket, a clear lane to the basket, Isaiah Joe flared out to the opposite corner. And Jalen Williams faked the shot, passed it up to Joe on the corner. And credit to Atlanta for reacting, because I don't remember who it was on the corner. I want to say it's Bogdan Bogdanovic, but Isaiah Joe had not like a super clean look, but it was a good look from 3-point line at the corner. And he, like, I mean, he just missed it. Like, we were this close to overtime with Isaiah Joe. And let me tell you, man, the takes were flying on Twitter about this. Like, why is Joe hitting this? He was cold. He's, you know, he's not made for the moment. It's like, well, I mean, I don't know if you remember, but, like, Isaiah Joe's, like, coming out party, like, the game that made Isaiah Joe was against the Dallas Mavericks when he scored, I think, 12 points in the fourth quarter, including the game-tying three-pointer to send it to overtime. So, I don't know what we're talking about here. Isaiah Joe has been that dude. He can make those shots. He wasn't, like, super hot, you know, during this game. Or nobody was. I mean, he was 4 of 8 shooting, but he was 1 of 5 from deep. So, I mean, I get it. Like, obviously. And then somebody was like, oh, I would have liked to see the Kobe mentality out of Shea. Kobe's not giving up that ball. Shea needs that killer instinct, blah, blah, blah. It's like, bro, Shea didn't get the ball. I think Shea was the first option. I think they wanted to get the ball to Shea, but they elected not to. Him stumbling, like getting knocked over by DeJounte Murray, probably knocked him off the rhythm. You only get 5 seconds on, you know, to inbound the basketball. So I think the next play was that decoy play to the quarter. Oh, Jesus, sorry. So, yeah, I mean, I saw a million takes. The bottom line is we shouldn't have been in this game. And it was a masterful effort for us to even make it a game. 141 to 138, like, there was no defense played in this game at all on either side. And that's how Atlanta wins their games. Like, you know, they're going to score a flurry of points, and, you know, they're going to hope that you don't score as many because they don't have any good defense. But, yeah, it was a hard-fought game, a very, very interesting game. It was really fun down the stretch, you know. Literally a day after I'm talking about, I'd like to see a comeback just to see that we could do it again. And we almost did. We almost did. I understand not putting Chet in because he had been struggling at that point, but I think having Chet Holmgren in that game might have changed some things. But all in all, it was a fun game, fun ride as we watched the comeback. Just fell short. Back to Brooklyn Nets on Friday. All right, let's actually get into some of the box score. So, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in all his freaking glory. 33 points, 13 rebounds, which was 9 more than the next highest rebounder on the team, which was Lu Dort at 4. Like, Shai took the rebounding, like, personally, and was the only person really doing it. Also, 8 assists on only 2 turnovers on a night the rest of the team just, like, really struggled. I mean, Shai was doing Shai things, man. He shot 11 and 24, so, like, not the most efficient night. But 2 or 3 from deep, which is a trend that we've been seeing and we like to see about his 3-point shooting and the efficiencies that he's been having. 9 of 11 from the stripe. Knowing what we know about the game, those 2 free throws would have definitely helped the outcome. Shoot 1 of them, we could have just got a 2 tie the game instead of hunting for a 3 at the end. But, you know, he's not the only guy that missed free throws. Jalen Williams continues to shoot very weirdly from the free throw line, 2 of 5 from the stripe. You know, I'll get it out eventually. Getting missed one, and then the only other people to take free throws were Case Wallace and Lee Dort. So, but yeah, no, Shai was insane. Like, just once again shows why he is on the short list, and, like, the very, very short list for most valuable player in the NBA. Like, he's just absolutely ridiculous. Jalen Williams next up, 21 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 steals for Young Dub. 9 of 12 shooting, 1 of 1 from 3-point line, and, of course, 2 of 5 from the stripe. I mean, he was great in this one as well. I would have liked to see him get more shots, honestly. It was very spread out because the guys just, you know, they didn't have the legs to get shots. Like, the bench, to their credit, I think scored 45 points last night. And, like, combined, like, God, let's see here. Lindy shot 6. Jalen Williams shot 2. Joe shot 8. I mean, we're already up to 16. Wiggs shot 7, so 23. And then Kaysen shot 9. So, 32 shots from the bench last night, which is a lot. It's a lot. and Shea, at that point, like, he didn't even shoot that much going into the fourth quarter. But, you know, he ended up with 24 shots just because, like, he was carrying us at the end of the game. But, yeah, Dub at 12 shot attempts, as efficient as he was, as little help we were getting in other areas in terms of the starters. I would like to see him take even more shots. Sorry. So, yeah, his shot, not a shot selection, but his shot attempts have been an interesting case study this year. I would like to see him take more shots, but, you know, he did his thing. Like, he played really good in his minutes and his shot attempts. So, shout out to Jalen Williams. Lou Dort ended up having a solid game. 14 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. 3-7 from the field, not the most efficient shooting, but 2-3 from deep, so love to see that. 6-6 from the stripe, which I would have to see the last time Dort went 6-6 from the stripe, but pretty good. He was a team high plus 11 on the game in the box score plus minus. Played some good defense on DeJounte Murray and Trae Young in stretches, but, you know, they were doing their thing. Chet Holmgren, I already mentioned, I already talked about what he was doing in this game. Josh Giddey, 9 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal. Again, not the most efficient shooting, 3-7, but did hit 2-3 from deep. So, is that 3-point shooting real? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not at liberty to say yay or nay, but he's on a hot streak, so let it ride. All right, here we go. On the bench, Kaysen Wallace, 15 points, 5-9 shooting, 3-7 from deep, 2-2 from the stripe. Ties his career high with points that he previously set against the Dallas Mavericks. Also had a rebound, 2 assists, and 1 steal. Kaysen was great in this, man. He provided a spark when we needed the most. Whenever Mark went to his first rotations, he was the first guy to strike. To Trae Young off the dribble, was knocking down threes. Was, you know, playing really good defense. Like I said, like, forcing a shot clock evaluation on Trae Young at some point late in the game. So, yeah, Kaysen was great. Wiggins was phenomenal. I tweeted out Wiggins' career high tonight, and then I went and looked at it, and Wiggins actually scored 28 points during the tanking year. So, that didn't happen. I'd wager to say you're probably not going to hit that career high again, Wiggins, but was great. 13 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. 6-7 shooting, 1-1 from the 3-point line. He was freaking everywhere, man. Like, talk about spark. When him and Kaysen came in and just flying up and down the court, doing everything defensively, getting to the rim, knocking down shots, like, they were doing their job. And Wiggins just continues to be a guy that makes winning plays. The day after his birthday, he continues to save basketball. Shout out Wiggins. Isaiah Joe, I kind of mentioned, he was 4-8 shooting, 1-5 from deep, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 steal. You know, Zay was a guy that I thought to be a shooter. And I talked about in the last podcast how I think he's a scorer. I think he's a legitimate microwave off the bench, a guy that can get buckets in a variety of ways. And he was doing just that. You know, he hit 1-3, but he hit a midi. He got a layup. I think he got a dunk. Like, he can score in a variety of ways. And I would like to see that kind of fleshed out as the season goes on, because I don't want Isaiah Joe just to be a shooter. Like, I think that's putting him in a box, and I think he could be much more. So, he played good in his minutes tonight. Jalen Williams, big boom. Had 3 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. Had 1 boom right from the Atlanta Hawks bench. I want to say early fourth quarter. Played good in his minutes, 15 minutes of action. Lindy Waters, I mean, had 9 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist. Shot 3-6 from the field, 3-6 from 3-point line. So, like, you can't complain about his production. But, man, it was weird. having him out there and how long he was out there. Like, Wendy Waters is a two-way player, right? He played 20 minutes last night. Like, he played as many minutes off the bench as anybody besides Aaron Wiggins. Aaron Wiggins had 21 minutes off the bench. It's just really weird. I just don't understand it. He was in the game over guys like Alex Bertans, Kendrick Williams, fellow two-way player Olivier Saar, as we were getting beat up on the glass. Trey Mann didn't get any run. Vasilije Micic. Now, I said on Twitter, I think that specifically Kendrick Williams and Vasilije Micic, I think it was just like a vet rest day, like, you know, on a back-to-back, all the stuff with the plane. Like, I think they were going to get a DNP no matter what was happening in this, but Wendy Waters over Trey Mann is really, is a choice, is all I got to say. You know, like I said, he ended up doing fine. He got beat on defense a few times, but yeah, I don't know. I could live without seeing any more Wendy Waters, like, high minute games off the bench, so. Oh, God. I'm so sorry. I'm very tired. Looking at Atlanta, yeah, I mean, it really just came down to Trey Young, DeJounte Murray, Jalen Johnson, Bogdan Bogdanović. Those were the guys that did all the scoring for Atlanta. And, you know, we didn't stop them, and they made us pay for it. So, that is all I got to say about this game. Again, we had a chance to win in the end, in spite of all the nonsense that was happening. I do also want to say, I'd be remiss if I didn't say Atlanta had 33 free throw attempts to our 26, so not super egregious. The Thunder actually shot pretty well in this game from the field, 54.9%, 50% from three, shooting 18 of 36. So, you know, it's tough when games go that way and you still aren't able to pull out the victory. But before we leave, I just do want to shout out, I won my first sleeper parlay and my second first sleeper parlay last night. Very excited. I was very thrilled to see that hit. I'll tell you guys what it was here if I can find it. All right, so last night I have Luka Doncic over 25.5 points on a promo. He had 41. OG Anunoby over 6.5 assists and rebounds. He had 10. Bilal Coulibaly, my boy, Bilal Coulibaly, I'm still a cool believer. Over 5.5 assists and rebounds. He hit 6. So, he got that very early, but, man, that was close. Clint Capella, over 10.5 rebounds. He had 14. Guys, I'm not ashamed. I pick over rebounds on big guys against the Thunder all the time because let's call it what it is. They're going to rebound the basketball. And Jalen Johnson, I had over 24.5 points and rebounds. He had 35 points and rebounds. It ended up with 28 points and 7. Then Emmanuel Quickly, IQ, his line was at 15.5 points. I knew that was way too low. That first game was him just trying to come out, catch rhythm, kind of see what was going on. He did that and more in his second game, 26 points. So I was able to win a nice chunk of change off that game. And then the next one, Julius Randle, over 20.5 points on a promo, had 35. OG Anunoby again. Alex Crusoe, over 1.5 3 points made. He made 2. Clint Capella, again, rebounds. Jalen Johnson, rebounds. So, that was awesome. But, yeah, guys, that is all the time we have today. Sorry, I just had to tell somebody that I won. We will be back Friday after the Nets game for a reaction podcast. I am at work now. So, I hope you all have a wonderful Thursday. I hope the Thunder get a nice rest day. And we'll see you guys on Friday. Have a great night. God bless you when you can. As always, Thunder up.
Thank you for listening to the Topic Thunder podcast. Our podcast is available to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Be sure to leave us a 5-star rating and a positive review, and follow us on Twitter at OKC Topic Thunder. Thunder up!
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, You're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.